Yeah, Mess, you want to lead us in?
Swords!
S-word.
Yes, that too. Lord, I have your word and I know it's true.
Lord, I have your word and I know it's true.
I am everything it says I am.
I am everything it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Today I'm going to finish up with faith. The title of this message is Faith, the key to unlocking our imagination. The key to everything for our future starts with faith. All of us know the scripture of Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When is faith? Now, today. When is hope? It's our future. Right. Turn to 1 John, the 5th chapter. We'll start in verse 3. The subtitle of this is Vision. Many of you guys have asked me, or a few of you guys have asked me, what does the other side of the door look like? Today you will find out. Today you will find out. 1 John 5, starting in verse 3, this is love for God. This isn't the love of God, this is the love for God, to obey His commands. And His commandments are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How many of us believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. All of us, pretty much. He is the answer because He atoned for our sins. He is the Lamb of God. And because of that, we now have life in Him. And His commandments are easy. We are to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And we're to love each other as ourselves. Those are His commandments. What happens within those commandments are principles of how we are to operate in this covenantal relationship with Almighty God. It has been said that all men have eyes. All of us have eyes, but few truly see. And today I want you to begin to see the future. Your future. Holly put it succinctly. It isn't about me, it's about God and what He expects. Can you see great things in your life? You have to. You have to see great things in your life because our God is a great God. And He has called His people for such a time as this to do great exploits, to bring great glory to His fame. Amen? He has given us the great gift of faith, and it has come in a seed form. But He also gave us the ability that when we study and read His Word, faith explodes and creates the foundation in which we live our lives, now hidden in His Son. It is the foundation of everything that we have. And our circumstances is what cracks open this seed of faith to believe God has something better for us. He tells us through His Word, don't despise the days of small beginnings. I can remember in the early days, there was only four of us. Four of us. And look what God has done. God has given us faith to believe. He has opened our eyes to begin to see something greater than just salvation. You see, salvation gets us into the door. But faith opens up everything, all the possibilities that God has for us. Some need to have this seed of faith planted in their hearts, while others need that seed to be cracked open, to really have this opportunity to surrender to God. I was a head guy. I intellectualized a lot of stuff, and I found out that it was ridiculous to believe in the things of God. If I couldn't comprehend it, it wasn't so. Until the day that God took me to a Jesus festival, and I prayed for a person, and the Holy Spirit came upon my life, and this person radically contorted and crippled in his body. I prayed for healing for this individual, and when I removed my hands, I could still see the hands, the imprint of the Holy Spirit upon this man's body. And then, like the valley of the dry bones in Ezekiel, you just see God snapping it into place. It scared me. I couldn't comprehend what was happening in the spirit. And God said to me, the carnal mind is enmity with the things of God. You can't comprehend what God wants to do. It doesn't make sense. And I'm here to tell you that Satan knocked me senseless, so much so that I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And now all things are possible to him who believes. All things. What keeps us in an infantile state is that we think that if all we need is faith, and that God will take care of everything else. I've tried to explain to you that God has done everything for us that he's going to do. It is now our responsibility to respond. And we have this opportunity set before us. What God was saying to me today was confirmed by Pastor Mike in that this was a breakout for us today. You see, you need faith to break out of where you are. You have to have faith that the hand of God has been extended to you. All you need to do is grab a hold of his hand and he'll pull you through it. That is what has happened today. He has designed us in such a way that when we extend our faith, we take the things that are hidden and he manifests them into our reality. Remember Hebrews 11:1. That is the key. Faith is now. We don't need to believe God for something that we already have. We have to believe him for something that we're going towards. And this week I've been pondering about the church age. I've heard many people talk about the church age. This is the age of the church. Do you know that church in the original text means called out ones? I can't think of the word. I'm so excited in spirit. We are the ecclesia of God. And God has desired for our faith to take root in him, not in ourselves. When we think about where we don't measure up, that's Satan taking our eyes off of God. It isn't about us. It's about him and us responding to what he says and believing that it comes to pass. He has called each and every one of us. And I've asked you, do you know what He has called you to do? And we've taken the survey, the spiritual gift survey. And I will call on you to begin to see where we are at this. I have supplied the leaders with critical and non-critical ministries so that we can utilize you guys in a way that your success continues to grow successfully. And we want that. We want that. God wants that. He wants to see His church filled. He wants to see us believing impossible things. You see, if it's possible, we don't need faith for that. We don't need faith if it's possible. We have to believe for the impossible. And because He calls us into a vocation, it is our responsibility to find out what that calling is and then do all we need to do to be placed in that. That's according to Luke 19:13. He wants us in that position to expand His kingdom influence and occupy. Don't give up that land, but occupy that land to win souls. I have brothers that are really taken by the abortion issues, or the issue of Kim Smith this week in her dealings with, she's standing up for God, and she's the woman that in Kentucky that won't sign her name to the licenses. We have to understand that God is calling us to something greater. You are important to God because He doesn't do small things with great people. He does great things in small ways and brings it all together to glorify His name. Each and everything that we do is only a stepping stone to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. 7 years ago when God spoke to me about providing us with this house, and He told me, He said, this will be a beachhead. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, this will be a beachhead for training the saints to do the works of the ministry. Where we are going, what we did to get to this point is no longer relevant. What He wants to do is train us in the vocations that He has for us in kingdom to expand His kingdom, to supply the needs. It's really that simple. Let me give you a secret. In order for us to get to this point of getting our faith on track with God, He has to remove all the debris and destruction that we've allowed. And when He removes all that death and destruction in our lives, He begins to build us. I didn't become pastor overnight. We're talking 10 years of a process just to enter in to become a pastor. And it's been 25 years since I've been ordained, and I've learned so much more since then. You see, I didn't arrive. I was just placed into a position that God says, now you do the work. It's time for His church to take her responsibility to be set in that position and do the work that He has ordained. Over the past 10 years, God has been trying to get us to have a greater works mentality. And I feel in my spirit that Satan has on one hand lied to us to make people think that it's my job to to do everything around here. And I don't mind serving. Really, I don't. And you guys are now starting to get this understanding that as God begins to raise up people, to stir their hearts, to become involved in the work, it sets pastor free. According to Acts 6, my job is to be in the Word and to be in prayer, of which you guys have been really great in allowing that to happen. And it's only because you guys have elevated and expanded that I get to do this. I get the privilege to tell you what is coming. God has been very patient with us. He has been very deliberate in His patience. His patience is a demonstration of His great love for us. He is allowing the maturation process to happen. And it challenges us all the time. What's Pastor talking about? Where is he going with this? You know, I don't think he understands what's happening. Any of you have those questions? I know of one. Me. I am smart enough to follow the Spirit of God. I am smart enough to listen now and follow Him and begin to implement those things that God calls into my life. Because it's good for the church, it's good for me, it's good for the body of Christ. Since that time, God has raised up the diaconate. And the diaconate, I have said to them that we need to pray for our congregation. And they have been steadfast in praying for the congregation. Not only have they been steadfast in that, they have been exhortive to the people of God to get involved into the work of God. You see, the job of the deacons, is to serve. But it's also to set me free to do what I've been called to do, and also to get all of God's people involved. That's their job. Check the scriptures. See it. It's there right in front of you. And so far, we've supplied enough tooling for you guys to repair the breaches in your life. To begin to allow the healing process of things that God wants to do to make you and me whole so that we can walk in this unity. You see, what is happening in the church today is supernatural. It is a supernatural move of God to bring unity to the people of God. We've been in meetings where we've sang songs, Tear down the dividing walls. We've sung all the songs that have done it over the year, and we sang the Psalms, we sang the scriptures, and we've always seen this resistiveness towards those things. I can't say that with you guys. I see a hunger in you guys, and that hunger comes from being hungry for God. Some of you may display this hunger openly, chase me down. I want to talk to you about this. Okay, fine. Let's talk about it. Let's see what God says about this. Others kind of, laid back a little bit. I have to tell you, those days are passing. Very shortly, that door will be shut. And those who want to go on with God will receive the training, be positioned in their place of calling in such a way that they will be the most effective ministers of the gospel. They will no longer say, it's not my job. They will say, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. God wants us to put away the childish things of the world. That's what he's about. This is what a counter is all about. He spoke to me and he said, You will not take communion until you have encounter. We haven't taken communion in 2 months. That tells you when he spoke to me. That isn't a punishment. He sees the need for us to get rid of the burdens that we've been carrying that he has been designed to carry. And it takes faith to believe this. He wants the best for us. And yet, we hold on to those things like it's a badge of honor for us. We have seen through the years that as we push forward in this, many have deserted us. Many have left the faith. Many don't want a Christianity that is radical. They want to hear about the soft things of the gospel. They want to hear about, I can still have my sin and I'll be okay. No. Jesus set us free. It is our responsibility to stay free. No matter what is going on in the world, no matter what is going on in our personal lives, we don't have the right to sin any longer. We have to grow up. Being childish is one of those things that keeps us. Others have stayed with us, but they refuse to grow. It's disappointing to me. I'm going to share my heart. It's disappointing to me to watch people suffer needlessly. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart to see that they're more fearful of man than they are fearful of God. God only wants the best for us. It isn't about our families. It's about us individually. And what we can do individually when we come together collectively to accomplish the things that God wants accomplished. Turn to Exodus, the 20th chapter. We'll talk about imagination. Exodus 20, verse 4. Says, "You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or of any image of anything in heaven or on the earth or in the sea." Let's look at that word image. Its root is the same root as imagination. God never intended for us to worship objects. Never. He wanted us to worship Him in spirit and with the imagination. We limit our scope of God because we limit our imagination. This whole book, this whole textbook of Scripture is to expand our imagination of God. Jesus said, "There is nothing impossible with God. Everything is impossible." What can you imagine God doing in your life? Can you imagine God taking you to the nations? Can you imagine God starting businesses with you? Can you imagine God using you to lead the next generation to praise and worship? Can you imagine God using you in such a way that influences kids, teachers? Can you imagine? When I ask you what's God saying to you, I'm simply just putting it another way. What are you imagining from God? What is the mental picture that God has put into your mind that has birth in your spirit? And like I said, shortly I'm going to tell you what he's put in my spirit for streams. And you may say, that's impossible. Not with God. We don't have this building because of me. We have this building because of God and what He has done. I had a scope of which I was following. But God was following His plan. He just wanted me to get in motion so that we could attain a beachhead. God blows me away. He really does. What are the images that fill your mind? They should be the same images that fill your heart. Unless they agree, if you're, what you're thinking about and what's in your heart is different, it is vanity. It is vanity. These pictures are like virtual worlds. We guys who are gamers understand this. They walk into a virtual reality and play these stupid games that are designed to waste your time, God's time, to be effective for His kingdom. That's quite hard, isn't it, Pastor? Now, I'm not hard enough yet. Imagination allows us to envision who and how great God is. That's where you start. That's where you start. That's faith. You can't start anything else until you understand who God is and how great He is and how He takes our faith and makes it our reality. And we get the privilege to go through the process. Imagination allows us to envision great things, which is hope, which is future. Dream great things, which is hope, our future. And achieve great things, our future for the Lord. You see, some of us are wrestling with our vocations right now. Does God want me in this? Want me to? Ask God what He wants you to do. It's really that simple. Some of you are struggling in your spiritual giftings. You're struggling because you're not prioritizing the things of God first. I had a conversation with Pastor Mike. I said, you know, what concerns me is the lack of zeal of this generation for the things of God. I've been saved for over 30 years, and his zeal is consuming me. I have a zeal for God. I want to see Him do great things through His people so that we can praise Him greatly. To win the battle of our soul, we must achieve and activate our faith to accomplish those things that we are imagining. If we're so focused on our problems, that's all we have. We fail to see that God is bigger than our problems. Remember I said, if we focus on the things of God, He's already about our stuff. He fixes our stuff. We must keep thinking on the Word of God in regards to bringing what we imagine to reality. We don't go to school just to go to school. Because we think it's a great idea. We go to school because God has something prepared for us, and we do it in preparation for that. No different than the spiritual realities. I looked at the things that you guys wanted to study. I have them listed here. What good is it if you're not prioritizing God first? We can teach all we want. But if you're not there, you're not being equipped. We must stay vigilant to protect our faith from corrupt thinking that affects our imagination. Let us not only believe the things that is within our heart, let us start expanding it with our imagination. It takes faith to imagine these things. Imagination. Do you understand that you have been created to imagine? Because that is an attribute of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10, 2 through 6. I'm going to be a little long today, but that's okay. Paul says here, I beg you that when I come to you, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. Just drink that in. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that it sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Once your obedience. Do you love God? Do you love God? Part of our obedience in loving God is to do what He tells us to do. The key to appropriating this victory is found in Matthew 6:33, Romans 12:1-2. These are the key principles of getting your life started in faith. Thank you, Dan. The weapons of our warfare are not just for renewing our minds. It is designed to take the thoughts of fallen man, what our thoughts were, and jettison them. Get rid of them. And start thinking on the same plane as God. That's what it's about. We war against thoughts, pride, arrogance, even fear, which is a spirit. And fear will keep men from becoming leaders. You have to learn to be courageous, just like Joshua. Read Joshua 1. And see how many times God encouraged Joshua about being in the Word. You think it's an easy thing to be a pastor? There is so much that I have learned about pastoring God's people. That I appreciate God all the more. And cry out for mercy that He find me faithful in discharging my responsibilities. There is a battle going on. And I am fearful. But I don't let fear stop me. I allow courage to rise up within me to speak to you about the truth of Jesus Christ. He didn't create us just to have a good time today. He created us to win the lost, so that His house would be filled, so that when He comes and He splits the eastern sky and He takes us and then we're all there for judgment, that we don't have to be afraid of what He's going to say to us. My prayer is that he would say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And that's my prayer for you. Satan has done something in the church to make people believe that they don't have a responsibility to the Lord. The reason why he does this is he tries to keep us inactive, paralyzing us from moving forward, trying to keep us childish. And if he can keep us childish, he can keep us in bondage. Think about it. Think about your kids. Would you die for your kids? We would. Would you? God did. He showed us how much love he has for us, that yet while we were sinners, he died for us. To atone for us. Because he knew there was no way for us to come back to God unless he did. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. We've messed up. That should cause us to draw closer to God. And we're battling constantly. We're battling these thoughts. We're battling about would've, could've, and should've, when we should be, this is what God has spoken into my life. I am lining up with what you say, Father, and I am going full blast for it. To bring you glory, to bring you honor, to bring you praise that you deserve, because you saved me from myself, and now I can live for you. When the devil capitalizes on our inactivity, he attacks our souls. I always say it's harder to hit a moving target. But when we're sitting still, he just sits there and shoots and hits us every time. He fills our minds with unwholesome distractions, all designed to destroy the family of God, all to destroy the children of God, all designed to destroy the plan of God. Do you realize this? When we're playing those video games, or we're watching soap operas, or we're doing things that are contrary to what God has said for us, we are at a standstill. And Satan is like a roaring lion. He goes around and he wants to look into our souls for any cracks so that he can enter in and fill it with vanity, vain imaginations. Pastor, you know it's football season. You know you like football. You know this. I do. I don't let it consume me until after I do what God says to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. First. I do what he tells me to do first. And if I don't have time to go and watch a football game or be involved in something, I don't get it. It's just what is. I'm not going to let this enemy keep me in a childish state. I am mature in the Lord. I will fight him tooth and nail. And I will appropriate the victory of Jesus Christ in my life. Not only does he want to distract us, he wants to poison the relationships by our words. I used to say things to Irene that, God, I'm ashamed of saying. And then I would say to her, you know, I'm only kidding. You know, I didn't really mean it. And she said, is that love? It made me start thinking, what was coming out of my mouth? What was my action saying? What was I doing that would demonstrate love to a woman who only means good to me, who God brought into my life to bring good to me? Guys, don't you understand that just because you're grown up physically, you're still a boy inside when you want to do childish things, when you're still governed by your fear? I hate to disappoint you. The boys with the most toys don't win. They go to damnation. Read your scriptures. When I was a boy, I thought as a boy. I did things as a boy. When I became a man, I put those things away. There is a time that God has worked in your life that you have been resistive. You've been wanting to do what you wanted to do because you don't see the consequences. The consequences in the next generation. That's where it's at. And in my house, we fought very, very hard to minimize those consequences that came from a curse that was put upon me in my house. And when the Lord said, I have broken that curse over you, I wept for 2 days. I wept over my sin. How can you lead your families when you have never learned to submit yourself to God? I'm the man of the household. I said that. I did. I'm the man of the household. I'm the king of my castle. And God did a death blow to my pride. You can stand on your haunches and crow like a chicken. Doesn't faze God. I've learned to serve my family. And in learning to serve my family, I've learned to serve the family of God and want the best for God's people. To be a man is not to be served. To be a man is to learn to serve. That's what it means to be great. That's what it means. Wasting his time. You see, his time, you're on his time. If he was to pay you for the work that you have done on his time, what would you receive? I told you many years ago, I did a study on what it means to be a man of God. And I came out of that and I said to Irene, I said, I wish he made me a woman. I wish. Women have it easy. They have a desire to serve God. They have a desire to come alongside of us guys to help us. We have a desire to put it all on them so that we can sit back as these proud chickens crowing. We have it all together as our family goes down the tube, as the relationship of our marriage goes down the tube, as we substitute love for some sort of other addiction. Yeah, addiction. The battle is raging. And then until you're able to begin to get your thought life together and line it up with your heart life, you got a lot of work to do. I have work to do. That doesn't mean, and you guys know it, that I don't stop what I'm doing because you are more important than my ease and comfort. You are, because he died on the cross. And because he's my shepherd, I'm an under shepherd, and I do what he tells me to do. To encounter God is to encounter success. It is. He succeeded where we all fail. Think about it. When was the last time you spent an hour that you didn't sin? And he did a whole lifetime that not once did he sin. Not once. Not a sinful thought, not a sinful word, not a sinful action. I am just blown away. And yet he took my sin to give me his life that I could give it away. And because we don't know how to properly align ourselves up with the things of God, because we've allowed this spirit of religion to choke this life of Christ out of us, we don't prioritize God. We had dinner the other night, Christians, and we gave thanks for our meal. And they're like, oh, that's what you do. No, a week or so ago when we had dinner. It wasn't that we were being religious. We just understood where the source of it came from. And I have a thankful heart that it could be so much worse. What do we have today? We have Satan controlling the minds of men in our government to enslave us. And we don't even pay attention to that. We have Satan and his minions throwing darts and thoughts into our lives to keep us childish and fearful. Because his whole job is to enslave us. His whole job is to kill us, to rob and steal and kill the hope of glory in us. God has put tremendous things into you that he wants to come out. You are so much greater than you think that you are. You are. I try to get you just to believe that you're a supernatural spiritual being living in a dead carcass. And that's hard to conceptualize, but that's the truth. And you're so much greater than that. And here's another thought. God can do everything over and above what we could ever ask or imagine. And we're still asking for the crumbs instead of reaching for the stars. Turn to Psalm 139. I know it's a little long, but I really need to get you to understand some things here before I share with you what God wants to do with us. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you are created, my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I just want to stop there for a second. God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make junk. Do you understand that he created you as the trophy of all creation? That the call that he has on your life isn't some insignificant thing. It is mighty in God. No matter what it is. (Clears throat) My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He imagined, he used his imagination to create you and me. And then we were. He speaks, it is. He thinks, he speaks, it is. The Father thinks, the Son creates, and the Holy Spirit makes it so. You are not junk. You are an heir to a kingdom. You are the house of royalty. You are priest. You have high callings in Jesus Christ. What does the world know? It doesn't know anything. It rejects Christ because they think it's folly. That was the problem with the Jews. They wanted their religion more than they wanted Christ, who came to restore a relationship that was lost in the beginning. And now we have the opportunity to take it to the next level. But we're not going to take it doing the same things that we're doing now. You see, we have to have the eyes of our imagination open. Remember I started and I said all men are created with eyes, but not all see. What is the greater possibilities that God is speaking to you that is going to motivate your faith to bring it to pass? Contained within us, we are made of a body, we have a soul, and He has breathed into us a renewed spirit. Contained in our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, our faculties for reasoning, and our intellect and our imagination. That is the creative part of us. God is a creator. He has given that to His children to create. As we speak it, it will become. As we believe it, it will be so. Nothing impossible. Just believe. We thoughtlessly utter words to each other to destroy each other by putting each other down so we can elevate our position. That is childish. That is childish. Christ, who is God incarnate, came from glory to us and He didn't condemn us. He didn't say anything about us. Except enter in, beloved of God. He wants us to once again rekindle faith so that we can see all things that are possible. Nothing is impossible to who believes. Nothing. You just got to turn it on. God has given us His Word, not for training and equipping only, but He gave us His Word as an offensive weapon to fight against the enemy and to destroy the works of the devil. And then He tells us, not only do you have that Word in you, now demonstrate your faith by laying hands on the sick, by healing them, by speaking in other tongues, by preaching the gospel. When was the last time you, except for today, when was the last time that you laid hands on somebody and they received healing? When was the last time you shared the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody? See, these are the areas we're going. If we don't consistently complete our disciplines daily, Satan will find a crack in our soul and flood us with things that are vain imaginations to waste God's time, to waste God's precious moments, to waste God's skills that are already in us. The fullness that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. There's nothing in this universe that is stopping the flow of the Spirit. We just need to do it. Like I said, the first time I really stepped out in faith and laid hands on a person, and then I took my hands off that person's back, and I could see the hands of the Holy Spirit, the imprint of His hands. And then you watch this person's body snap into place. That's awesome. It's also scary. I get it. But it's also exhilarating that God is alive. That God wants to do something, and He wants to do it through us. Not only does He want to put vain imaginations, He couples it with lies about each other. He wants us to become suspicious of each other. Why do they say that? Why are they doing that? He wants us to accuse each other of malfeasance. And we willingly oblige. Because we don't think. We utter words carelessly. Thoughtlessly. And the ones that we utter them to are the ones we're supposed to love the most. Our kids. And they take all this stuff in, all this poison, all this. And we turn them inward when they should be the most carefree in the world. We should love them unconditionally as God loves us. God has given us the power. What is power? The ability to wage war. He's also given us authority. What is authority? The right to use it. Jesus said, all power and authority of heaven have been given to Him. And then He freely gives it to us. You have the right to step on the devil's head. You have the right to pull down those strongholds in your life and walk in complete victory. You have the right to be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb and to walk in holiness. You have been made righteous by this exchange of life. You have had your spirits regenerated, that your minds are now filled or should be filled with the thoughts of God. God wants for streams to have exemplary marriages. That starts with guys getting their act together. What I've found is the women have it. They're waiting for the guys. Guys, he wants you to start taking your place. Be the prayer warriors in your house. Be the ones who lay hands on your sick children and condemn it, that sickness, curse it, and drive it out. You have all power and authority over every demonic situation. Stop looking at things that would bring compromise to your spirit. The windows of your soul is what you enters in to your soul. You need to police it. Remember, Satan wants to corrupt our minds. Paul says, to the pure, all things are pure. To the impure, all things are impure. God wants us to do great things. Not only just in our marriages, but He wants to raise men into their leadership positions. Encounter is not just a new thing. This is part of the ministry. And there are some of you who are interested in how to defeat the enemy because you have a call to set people free. It's called deliverance ministry. God's going to raise that up. God's going to raise up men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry to expand, to take it to not just Williamstown. He's given us a mandate to take this town for Jesus Christ, but to go to the nations. Some of you are being called to the nations. Some of you are being called to organize those who will go to the nations. Teams. Some of you are called into leadership capacities of fivefold ministry. That's Ephesians 4:11. Some are called to be pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles. Some of you are called to plant churches. Some of you are called to start businesses. Some of you are called to get involved in local governments. Some of you are called to just love your children and to love other children. Some of you are called to bring them into your homes. Some of you are called to allow the love of God, to allow the manifestation of the spiritual gifts that are described in 1 Corinthians 12:11, Romans 12. To be used in such a way. Some of you have been called to go and preach the gospel to your neighbors. God is going to raise all these things and more. What got us here will not sustain us. What got us here was the faith I had in God. Now I have a faith in God in you. You can do this. If you set your mind to the things of God and you set the purposes and intents of your heart in the direction of God, if you prioritize. Some of you are called to be prayer warriors, intercessory prayer warriors. Today we had an awesome time in God. Some of you are called to be part of the worship team. It's going to be a band here. It's going to be a band. We're going to have a tremendous worship team and teams who go out to teach others. Some of you will be pillars, not only in the house of God, but in the community of God, in the community that God wants to raise up. He's not a respecter of person. If your heart is on fire for God, chase after Him. Grab a hold of that which He has grabbed a hold of you for. And go with Him. Find out what it is that He has for you. I'm already talking about the sanctuary back here. And I was talking with the leaders. I said, you know, we have a project of $1.4 million. That is a conservative estimate to renovate this. Can you see it? You have to see it. I see it. The door for our childishness is over. It's closed as of today. It's closed. You make a decision. I made a decision. I'm going to trust God. Whether it takes 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, if He gives me 30 years to see it come to pass, I'm believing Him. I'm aligning myself up so that this can happen. I didn't think this was a great idea for me. You see, He wants to create a future for you and your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. He wants to give you an eternal inheritance. But you have to jump on the log in the stream of the Holy Spirit. We're just ants. We don't control anything, but we get to go along with the current. Take time this week. As we said, today's the last day to sign up for Encounter. Sign up. Because He expects us to do great things. And if you're still ensnared with stuff, you're not going to do anything for Him. And that'll break His heart, break my heart. Because you see, He's taken us onto an adventure of a lifetime. He is. He wants to bring all of us together. In this. He wants our families. He wants our siblings. He wants our nieces and nephews. He wants people that we work with. All come to Him. His will is not that any would perish. We choose. We choose. The gospel came to the Jew first. They rejected it. The time of the Gentiles is almost over. That's who we are. How beautiful would it be when we see both branches grafted together to the fullness of what God wants to do. Let your imagination take over. Begin to start seeing God for who He is, not your situation to keep Him from doing the great things. Stop saying those things that would impede you from moving forward. And start confessing these great things. He sent His word to heal them. And He has. He sent His word. And it doesn't return to Him void. Which means it doesn't accomplish. It accomplishes it. Everything that He purposes. What we have to understand that He has given us the key, the faith, to unlock the creative imagination that He has put into us to do great things for Him. And then we can get here and praise Him for it before it happens. Throw away those thoughts of a puny God. And embrace the imagination of how awesome and grand He is and what He has done for us. Amen? Amen.